third and final hour of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. My name is Drew. That guy's name is John. We're taking your phone calls at 651-989-5855. We'll also be joined by Representative Tom Emmer shortly. Get his thoughts on the SCOTUS ruling, some interesting comments that Kevin McCarthy made earlier this week, and some crypto legislation that he's also been working on. So lots to get to with Representative Emmer.
Yeah, yesterday really was kind of, you know, Joe Biden sucks day.
It was Joe Biden's horrible, no good, terrible, awful day. I mean, that's had to be one of like the worst days of his administration so far, right? That was a terrible, terrible day.
That's the key, though, so far.
I know.
It's not going to get any better. Right?
From a political standpoint, I mean.
Of course. But, I mean, go back to Afghanistan. Everybody, I mean.
Yeah, that was the worst day because.
We've memory holed.
I know. People died. Americans died. Marines died.
Yeah, 13 of our service members because he's such an idiot.
Welcoming to the roundtable a third participant.
Good morning.
Unprecedented ground is being broken here with three people on the Friday roundtable. Josh Hassing from Twin Cities Cannabis.
Happy to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Thanks for coming in. Thank you. Well, we had to fill out the news quiz. I didn't know how to do a news quiz with just two people.
Yeah, I was.
I was kind of like
nine man football. I overslept and missed the first half hour of the show, and so I wake up to your message and I go, "Why does he need a third? What happened?"
Yeah, Sam's still under the weather, yeah. So I'm pushing the buttons and answering the phone calls this morning. And John's in there. We got Representative Eric Lucero, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Full house today.
And of course, we have been discussing the big Supreme Court ruling yesterday, striking down Biden's vaccine mandate for employers with 100 employees or more. And as we talked about earlier, the big question, and as we get ready to go to the phones, Jeff O'Brien, just really quick, can you do the short version on the potential impact that the SCOTUS ruling can have on the main topic from yesterday's show? And that was Minneapolis and St. Paul requiring businesses that sell food or drink to require individuals to be vaccinated to be served there.
Well, like I said, at least in St. Paul, the mayor has exempted employees from the St. Paul vaccine mandate in response to the Supreme Court ruling striking down the OSHA mandate. But like I said, there are other grounds where you could challenge both of those mandates. Equal Protection Clause of the Minnesota State Constitution is probably the strongest argument to knock both of those out.
And the other big one yesterday when it came to President Joe Biden was both Kyrsten Sinema, and then I think it was shortly afterwards, Joe Manchin both came out and said they would not be voting to remove the filibuster, which pretty much doomed their the efforts on the voting bill. I know we got a couple of people on hold ahead of our conversation. Representative Tom Emmer, we want to get to.
Let's start with Mike in Minneapolis. Good morning, Mike. You're on with Justice and Drew in the Friday Roundtable.
Good morning, guys. My question is if this Supreme Court ruling made it so they could put mandates on people or companies that took federal dollars, would that include small businesses that took federal funding during the COVID relief package?
Isn't the dollar, aren't they specifically Medicare, Medicaid dollars, Jeff?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So, yeah, it's specific to that. But could they expand it? I mean, it would require an act of Congress.
Yeah, it would. If you look at the ruling from yesterday, the reason they upheld the CMS mandate is that CMS has placed conditions for recipients of those funds historically, so that's why they felt it was consistent with some of the other conditions they've placed on those providers. So that's why it was upheld. I don't think they're going to retroact, and I don't think you're going to do, but you certainly wouldn't do by executive order. I don't think there's any grounds to say that, you know, if you get an SBA loan or a PPP loan or something, that you now have to have all your employees vaccinated.
Well, don't let legality stand in your way.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the Biden.
It would be the argument of with OSHA. It's not that they're granting authority for some of those laws aren't broad enough to allow the agency to do that. Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, they could just say, you know, damn the torpedoes. Let's just try it and see if this works.
That's the Obama strategy. That's why we have dreamers.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric, you made a great comment earlier. The Democrats, you know, broadly speaking, they don't look at the Constitution as sort of a rule book that they have to play by. They look at the Constitution as something they have to get around to do what they want.
Exactly.
Let's go and talk with Mike in St. Paul. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for holding on, and welcome to Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew. What are your thoughts this morning?
Yeah, hey, I'm a physician who's practiced almost 20 years in the mHealth Fairview system. In the last, I've been an opt-out provider for Medicare, Medicaid my entire career. However, hospitals have now changed their bylaws in the last year or two to require all hospital staff, meaning physicians, providers, doctors, to take Medicare. They require it. You're booted off hospital staff. You're suspended. So we're required for the first time in almost 20 years. I kind of have a unique specialty. I don't want to really mention it, but we've always opted out for the same reason. Never taken federal dollars. Never wanted to.
Interesting.
Why do you think they did that, Mike? More control?
I don't know why the hospital bylaws have been changed. I probably should check into it more. I don't. They say they blame it on federal government. That's all they say.
Yeah.
It's new federal rules. That's all I know.
All right.
Just a slight correction. I love the show, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Good info. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's. I mean, that just reeks of we want to control you more, and we want to tie all sorts of strings to these dollars. And there's too many people here that aren't accepting those dollars.
I want to know what he does now. He said he didn't want to say it was a specialty.
No, I recall, wasn't it back when Obama, there were some banking institutions that didn't want to take the bailout money, and then they sat down and they forced them to take the bailout money, something like that?
I don't recall.
I vaguely remember something like that. Yeah. But these Democrats, with their big government mentality, want to just thrust this down on the people and usurp their choice.
Let's go and talk with Jim in Blaine. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew. What are your thoughts this morning?
Hey, yeah. I just have a question regarding the court verdict.
Mm-hmm.
Does it apply to individuals who are on Medicare also, or is it just staff of hospitals and healthcare workers?
To my knowledge, it's hospital staff and healthcare workers,
right,
where they're accepting federal funds.
Okay, so an individual who is on Medicare or collecting Social Security disability, that would not apply to them then?
No, not this mandate, but you know, never know what they come up with next.
Jeff, what are your thoughts on that on that ruling? I do just personal opinion on the SCOTUS ruling as it relates to the federal employees in the mandate.
Well, it's disappointing, but like I said, there is a history of CMS placing conditions on those on the recipients of those funds, so it made it kind of for the court. They didn't see this as antithetical to what has historically happened with those funds.
Representative Eric Lucero, a question for you, looking ahead to later in the year and the legislative session. I'm curious to pick your brain a little bit. This has been one of the weirdest states that I've ever worked in terms of politics and trying to figure out how things run here, right? And I've lived in weird places. I mean, Drew and I have also talked about, you know, I spent 9 years doing radio in Southern Arizona in the most left-leaning portion of the state, where the rest of the state leaned more conservative, was more purple. But I'm curious your perspective when you see what's happening at the national level and see the Biden administration's failings. You see, you know, Sinema and Manchin, you know, not willing to blow up the filibuster. You see the Supreme Court knocking down Biden's agenda. What kind of impact, if any impact, does that have moving forward on what you feel needs to get done, what the GOP feels needs to get done in the state of Minnesota? Does what's happening at the federal level have any sort of major impact on what happens here, or expectation that it could have an impact on what happens here later this year?
Well, at a minimum, psychologically, absolutely. These Democrats are on the local level are seeing loss after loss after loss on a national level, and it is influencing their behavior here. We've seen several retirements announcements of longstanding, very senior members, and I believe that they're looking into the future here. We've got just history demonstrates, as we know, that the party in power in the first midterm election loses seats both at the national level and the state level. We have the defund the police movement, which has been an abysmal failure and is 100% tied to Democrats. Minnesotans see that. We have the medical freedom, as we've been discussing this morning, the vaccine mandates, vaccine passports, and all the various conversations there. People don't want to be forced into making these decisions. We have the education, parental authority over control and curriculum of their children's education. All of these headwinds are what the Democrats are facing, and they see this. So it's absolutely going to have an impact here in Minnesota. So what do we need to do as Republicans? We need to stand up for each and every one of these. And we are putting together a plan in our caucus, at least the House caucus. I know the Senate caucus Republicans are probably doing the same, to get out the messaging. And as we get into here, caucus is February 1st, just a few weeks from now. And we're going to begin to promote a return to the empowerment of people and public safety across Minnesota. And I think that's absolutely a winning message, and Democrats see that is the case.
Yeah, totally, especially the public safety aspect. I mean, you can talk about empowering people and empowering small businesses and independent contractors and workers all you want, but if they don't feel safe in their community, if they don't feel safe to get out there and go to work and do all the things that you want to do, it really doesn't matter.
I have a sidebar question for Josh Hashing from the vaping studio. So CBD products can stop Omicron? Is this what I heard yesterday? Is this the case? Are you sold out now? What's going on?
I think a lot of that's going to depend on whether or not wink wink nudge nudge the state legislature bans all of our products this summer. Let's talk about that when you have some spare time. So specifically they're talking about CBD and CBG, but even more specifically it's CBDA and CBGA. These are the cannabinoids that still have the amino acid attached. Normally what happens is that amino acid drops off as the plant matures and becomes a usable product, but when that amino acid remains attached, it is a more effective cannabinoid. However, it's harder for the receptors to pick it up. So we've always just kind of take it or leave it kind of situation. But with this latest thing, with stopping coronavirus, it's looking like in very early testing that the same receptors that the coronavirus needs in your upper respiratory tract are the same receptors that those CBDA and CBGA cannabinoids will actually block. So the virus doesn't have the ability, in theory, I'm not saying this is fact, this is just, you know,
yeah, it was a study.
It's one study.
Yeah. But supposedly what happens is your body isn't able to gain a large enough viral load because those receptors have essentially either been blocked or turned off temporarily.
So that explains why a lot of people I know never got COVID.
Well, that would explain why Walz's Department of Agriculture is sending cease and desist letters out to all the folks selling CBD products in this state. Because, you know, if it's a treatment that isn't the vaccine, we got to shut that down, right?
Well, what got really convoluted about it was with the 2018 ag bill at the federal level, hemp and the research and resale of these cannabinoids was legalized. However, the way current Minnesota laws are written and now being reviewed by, actually mostly by lobbyists and lawyers from the medical program, they're now saying that any trace amounts of THC of any level are a felony unless it's flower or from the medical program. So 90% of the products are bad.
That's the Loveless case. We're dealing with that. I'm counsel for the Minnesota Industrial Hemp Association, so we're going to be submitting an amicus brief on that.
It's a good thing that like the Omicron variant didn't like mutate like to a really bad form. Well, I don't know. It'd be good. It would be good for one like subset of people in America. Like we just end up with like, you know, only people left are medical cannabis users and potheads.
Right.
The same industry that has the 70% tax. Go figure. That has nothing to do with it, right?
Colorado suddenly ends up being the most populous state.
Everybody's moving to Denver. Got a lot of people that want to ask questions about the ruling and the vax mandates. Jeff O'Brien, you are a very popular person with our callers this morning. Let's go to Jim in Farmington. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Jeff. I was just wondering, I work for Metro Transit. Now, does that scuttle their ability to force me to go get the testing and all that?
No. So when you're talking about an employer that's a government agency, whether, you know, Metro Transit or a city or a county or the state agencies, that wouldn't be affected. The OSHA mandate was the federal government attempting to force private employers of 100 employees or more to force their employees to get vaccinated. So this would only, the OSHA mandate covered private employers. There's separate orders from the state, from local governments, where they're imposing these mandates on their own employees. And so they would not be covered by the Supreme Court ruling yesterday.
You know, I'm going to add to the previous question, John, mm-hmm. that you had asked in terms of what are we going to do here. When we take control of the House, Senate, and governorship, there are a number of bills that we're looking to pass. I have 8 of them alone dealing with vaccines and vaccine mandates, vaccine passports. And I look forward to bringing these forward in the majority to actually put an end to some of these attempts anyway.
Good. Good. 651-989-5855. We've got more with the roundtable coming up, and I do believe we have Representative Tom Emmer, who will be joining us next. He's introduced legislation to prevent unilateral Fed control on U.S. digital currency. We'll talk with Representative Tom Emmer, get some more of your phone calls, talk more with the roundtable, and play the Friday News Quiz at 8:35 this morning.
At LG Seeds, we're bringing the seed buying process back to its roots with straightforward service and reliable partnerships. Our diverse selection of genetics and traits gives you all the choices you need to make sure you're getting the right seed for your operation. And if you need help, our expert agronomists stand ready to ensure you get the most from every acre, harvest after harvest. It's everything you need in a seed company, and nothing you don't. Learn more at lgseeds.com.
FM. All right. Your third and final hour of your Friday edition continues here on Justice and Drew. The Friday News Quiz coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes from now. And we do have Representative Tom Emmer standing by. Lots to get to with him. But before that, we have more calls for Jeff O'Brien with questions about our vaccine mandate and the SCOTUS ruling yesterday. Let's go to Peter in Shoreview. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Funny that Jeff's in this morning because I was actually going to call yesterday and say you should get a hold of him. for the first time in 3 years, I've got tickets to a game. I was going to a Wild game, and then yesterday you were talking about some of the city ordinances and the regulations that they're going to put in, like proof of vaccination. So I guess I'm going to have to bring that down to the Wild game when I go. But Jeff, my question is, I worked in healthcare for almost 20 years. Wouldn't someone at the pickout desk asking for medical information be a gigantic HIPAA violation? And what kind of recourse could there be for instituting something like that, especially given the Supreme Court's rulings about the
it's a good question. I'm not an expert in HIPAA, but from what my basic understanding is, these vaccine type requirements would not violate HIPAA.
Well, and I want to mention to him too, even if the mandates go in, the vaccine mandates locally go in, it's not till the 19th. And then 26
for ticketed
events. Right. So you're fine with the Wild game there, dude. And thanks for wanting to offer suggestions to the show. We appreciate it.
Representative Tom Emmer joins us. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, man.
Hey, did you stop by Hallmark yesterday? I was just wondering if you picked up like a sympathy card for Joe Biden after the day he had.
There's no card that can be sympathetic enough for the day that Joe Biden had yesterday. Why would they take that poor man and drag him up there one more time to wander him around the hall with no positive outcome? Why?
Yeah. You know, we talked about this briefly yesterday. It's just, we don't need to go down that road. He shouldn't be president. He should be relaxing somewhere in slippers. But yesterday wasn't, like, I don't think it was a shock to a lot of people, but it makes sense though, right? I mean, this is what got elected. This is what did all the damage, you know, to the country last year. This is what's doing damage even today. So it makes sense that he's going to have days like he had yesterday and probably will continue to have days like he had yesterday. This is what the people ended up putting into office. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody.
Actually, John, now that you say that, it's very consistent behavior. I mean, they don't listen to the American public at all. They being the far left that now is in control of the White House, right? They thought electing Joe Biden is somehow a mandate to undo incredibly popular policies of the Trump administration. That's not what it was. They thought that, that people need to listen to them because they're so smart, and they had their hat handed to them in places like Virginia, in New Jersey, in Seattle, in New York. And what do? They come back to Washington after those elections last November, and they said, you know the problem? The problem is we just didn't go far enough left. That's the problem. We didn't go big enough. You know, Bernie Sanders and Ilhan Omar and Yana Presley and all these brilliant lefties. And look, they don't even listen to each other, John, is the point. It's like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have not made this a secret at all. We're not going to do this. And they just don't listen. They just push forward, and it's frankly embarrassing and disgusting.
I mean, you've been in Congress now for, what, like 8 years or so? Have you ever seen...
Seems like 100.
And you were in the state legislature but before that. Have you ever seen a caucus in more disarray than the Democrats right now? And it's just for me looking from the outside, looking in, what you said with, you know, all of the infighting that's going on, the squad trying to pull all of their levers, Nancy Pelosi trying to pull her levers. You got this ridiculous J6 commission. You've got, you know, the Sinema and Manchin and the Senate over there, doing their own thing. And there's like, the Democrats just have, they cannot get anything together.
You know, Andrew, you can't even compare this to a dumpster fire because a dumpster fire is more organized than they are. I mean, it's located, it's in one place, and it burns and burns. These guys are everywhere, like you say. I mean, they're all over the board. And by the way, they're not fighting with Republicans. We disagree with the federalizing of elections. We disagree with your so-called election reform. Even my Minnesota colleagues who want to tell you that this is about voting rights. No, it's not. You don't have a mainstream agenda. You don't have an agenda that agrees with the public. You have mask mandates. You have vaccine mandates. You have a police state that you are trying to exert control over your neighbors and the very citizens that you're supposed to be working for. You completely turn this backward. You think we work for you. No, that's not the way it works. You're supposed to work for the people. And so rather than get run out of office, the only ideas they have, Andrew, John, change the election laws, call it reform, and try to hold on to your power that way. The American people are much smarter than these guys give them credit. And we've got about 9 months left of this garbage, and I have every confidence that regardless of what your persuasion is on the political spectrum, nobody wants to be controlled by an elected official like a Mighty Mouse mayor from Minneapolis who tells you this is the way you got to dress and you got to wear this little mask everywhere you go. So many intellectual inconsistencies. I got to wear a mask to walk into a restaurant, and I'm walking past people who, once they sit down, can take their mask off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And the employee, and you have to show a vaccine card to go get a table, but employees that are working there, cooking and serving your food, don't have to show the same sort of vaccine identification.
Hey, Andrew, can I ask you a question? And John, I don't know if you guys have talked about this or had any guests, but I keep seeing these rising jobless claims, and I hear these talking heads nationally. And even the policymakers that I, if we can call them policymakers, I think they're more like cartoon characters in Washington, but they talk about how the workforce needs to be incented to learn how to work again and understand that work is a good thing. It makes us feel good about ourselves. We have purpose in life. Nobody is talking about the fact that how many people are walking away from the workforce because they are not going to have the government force them to do something.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about this. I mean, you look at Centricare up in St. Cloud. They have, I don't know how many people, 220 out of 13,000 in growing, that they've lost a ton of people or they have them on leave because they don't want to comply with government mandates. So I just don't know how big an issue we're trying to find out. How big an issue is that in the workforce?
Yeah, no, I'd like to look at it. I'd like to see some data on that. I think it'd be really interesting to find out because, you know, skills are incredibly transferable. And if you've got specifically, let's just look at like the healthcare marketplace right now, the healthcare labor marketplace. If you've got the skills to work in a healthcare facility, there's no geographic sort of restrictions on where you can find people that would want to hire you. So, you know, you're seeing that exodus of specifically skilled workers moving to states where they're not going to be subjected to the same sort of draconian rules and regulations that a state like Minnesota would like to impose on them.
That's right.
Want to give you an opportunity. Well, speaking of doing things for the people, we've had actually like several callers when we promoted you coming on this morning called up and brought this up, wanted us to give you a chance to talk about it. There's a bill that you introduced that would prohibit the Federal Reserve from issuing a central bank digital currency directly to individuals. Elaborate on this a little bit. What prompted this, and why are you behind this?
Well, I what prompted it is everybody's talking about digital currencies because we don't want to fall behind the Communist Party of China. China is practicing something that I would call digital authoritarianism, right? They've got their population, the digital yuan. They can literally surveil their population. And by the way, they can turn off your cash. Mm-hmm. So you can't do certain things. So they can control your movements. They can control your behaviors. They can monitor your movements. I don't believe that this country should in any measure try to emulate communist China. We should not be in a race to see who can be the first one to perfect this digital authoritarianism. I think it should be done privately. If you're going to have a digital cash, I think it should be permissionless. I think it should be open. Permissionless meaning you don't have to have an intermediary that tells you that you can participate. It should be open so people can see what's going on. And it should be private, like cash. I never want to see the Federal Reserve turn into a retail bank that controls our information, because that is that next step towards digital authoritarianism. They can monitor what we're doing. They can monitor our transactions. And quite frankly, this is where some in our government want to go. Our Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, wanted to monitor $600 transactions plus. And by the way, they're doing it right now, ladies and gentlemen. When you're using Venmo and a couple of these other things, they are literally monitoring your transactions right now. They passed it in their last bill at the end of last year. It was in the bipartisan infrastructure bill, I'm pretty sure. But this is the issue. There's two ways to do this right now, Andrew. One is literally going down the road that China is going down. The other one is using the existing rails of the financial industry, our banks, right? Mm-hmm. But in my mind, we already have that. Those are your debit cards. You already have digital cash that way. This is something much bigger. It's allowing the private sector to take us to that next step in the internet. We're in what's called Web 2 right now. We are going to evolve into Web 3. And once you get to Web 3, you do not need intermediaries. We do not need Twitter. We don't need all these guys to let us in or turn us off. You and I will have our own digital identities in Web 3, and we will be able to transact business directly with one another. This is what they're so scared of, and they think this is harmful to the U.S. dollar. I would argue that if it's done right in the private sector, which only can happen in this country, that it's actually going to bolster the U.S. dollar as the world currency ultimately. So we're trying to encourage the private sector with this bill and frankly, we're not telling them they can't do it at the federal level, but we're trying to discourage this move towards turning any bureaucracy in the federal government into a retail bank that can control and hold all of our private financial information.
What kind of support does this bill have so far, and is it has it been partisanized yet? Are the Democrats against it simply because it's got a Republican's name on it, or are you finding that there's a fair amount of understanding, not only for this bill but also support?
No, I've got Democrat co-authors.
Okay.
This is not a partisan issue in my mind. And what's really funny is our office did this to start to make this debate. This was not, this isn't going to pass tomorrow. But we've got to start raising the debate, because all the talk has been from Jay Powell and company and Janet Yellen about how we've got to catch up with the Chinese and, the Federal Reserve's got to do this. No, the private sector will do this in this country. So I've got Democrat co-authors, and it's really interesting. I had a whole bunch of Senate offices, the second this was out there, start running across the building saying, hey, do you have a Senate companion? Can I do this one? So There's a lot of support for it in Washington, D.C., but right now it's, I think in this Congress, it's about sounding the alarm. We do not want our government to emulate the Communist Party of China. I think next Congress is when we can actually make some of these things reality.
Representative Tom Emmer, I look outside and, you know, I see snow blowing sideways, but what I really see is your smiling face. Thank you so much for the time this morning, sir. It's always great talking with you. It's Tom Emmer, the weather outside. We'll talk to you again hopefully next week, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, coming up, we do have a Friday news quiz. Looking forward to it.
Got a few minutes to get your last-minute predictions in. Josh Hassing from Twin Cities Cannabis, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, State Representative Eric Lucero are your contestants. If you correctly predict the winner of the news quiz, you'll be entered into a drawing for $100 from Twin Cities Cannabis. Final segment of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew, and that means one thing and one thing only. It is time to play the Friday News Quiz. Find out who the champion of all the news is, your contestants, and the order in which we will play this week is State Rep Eric Lucero, Josh Hassing from Twin Cities Cannabis, who is kind enough to offer up a $100 gift card for a listener who correctly predicts the winner, and of course, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. We got three rounds in your Friday News Quiz. The first round is the audio round. Six audio clips, two for each of you. Tell us who is speaking in the clip, and in your relevant context, you'll be awarded points. We've got one parody song for each of you to correctly identify what news story it's referencing for points as well. And then, of course, the headline round. Nine headlines, lots of blanks in them for you to fill out.
It always cracks me up how ridiculous the music is. It's game show music in general.
I know. I love game show music.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
It's very 1970s.
70s and 80s game shows had the best music.
Oh, I'm here for it.
There's no question.
I'm here for it. All right, Representative Eric Lucero, first audio clip is for you.
This does, in fact, add another layer of responsibility for our local businesses and restaurants who have bore the brunt of the challenges that we've faced through this pandemic.
It sounds like... Well, I have no idea. It's a wild guess here. It's Mayor Fry and talking about the new mandate that he put in place.
That would be correct.
That would be 2 points. Very good. That is correct. That is, what did Tom call him? The Mighty Mouse Mayor?
Yes.
And we would have accepted Man Baby.
Man Baby Mayor Mom.
Yeah, Man Baby Mayor Mom would have worked as well.
Josh Hassing, audio clip number two. Who's this?
Look, I've known, liked, and personally respected Joe Biden for many years. I did not recognize the man at the podium yesterday.
That is Mitch McConnell talking about, I'm assuming, Biden addressing SCOTUS turning down his mandate. Never mind.
No, it was McConnell commenting on his horrible speech done in Georgia, where if you didn't agree with this voting rights law, you were racist.
Yeah,
I missed that one.
Yeah, if you don't support everything the Democrats want to do, you're Bull Connor, Jefferson Davis, all wrapped up in one.
I missed that speech.
Which is funny, because Joe Biden didn't recognize himself in the mirror that morning. So.
And Joe Biden has often bragged about how much George Wallace liked him. So, you know.
All right, Jeff O'Brien, here's your audio clip. Who is it? What are they talking about?
Oh, but come on now. I mean, really, if you want to figure out how to get across town to some restaurant you heard is great, you usually do Google to figure out where it is. So that's simply about giving people, right, a mechanism by which they can locate something that they need, something that can help them.
God, she's an idiot.
I take it back. I don't want her to be president either.
It's Kamala Harris. I can't tell what she's talking about.
She's talking about, I'm just going to guess again. She's talking about how people can just Google where to find a COVID test.
Yep.
She was asked directly, you know, there's people are trying to get tests and they can't find them anywhere. And she was like, well, just Google it. Just Google it, because people Google restaurants.
I take it back. I don't. I said that I would rather have her as president. I don't want either of them.
Dumb. Does she have a lower approval rating than Biden?
I'm pretty sure she does.
I don't think she has an approval rating.
I think she's in the 20s. I think she's in the 20s.
All right, we are circling back around to Representative Eric Lucero. Who's this? What are they talking about?
You know what? We're fighting because in our state, it was ground zero where all the rioting, looting, and defunding the police. And even now, 2 years later, we're suffering from record crime.
Boy, I don't know who that is, but they're obviously talking about the defunding the police movement.
I know, it's Jeff. It's Kendall Qualls announcing he's why he's running for governor.
Very correct. Look at Jeff stealing points left and right here. That was Kendall Qualls during his appearance on Fox and Friends when he announced that he was jumping into the governor's race.
All right, we are back to Josh. Here is your audio clip. Who is it? What are they talking about?
We know that the big difference between those early stages of the pandemic and today is that we have more tools in our toolbox than ever before.
I have no clue who they are, but they're talking about fighting the pandemic. That's it.
Anybody?
Is it Mayor Carter? Announcing his mandate, right?
It was indeed.
Oh, there you go.
Melvin Carter.
They shared the same script, tools in the toolbox.
I know.
Boy, their
tools in the toolbox are just like authoritarian tactics.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they mean. When they say tools in the toolbox, what they mean is, we've learned that a lot of you, if we say jump, you'll just say how high.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. All right, final audio clip. Jeff O'Brien, who's this?
It's a results-driven business that if you don't have results, there's going to be change. So you're always kind of braced for change.
I don't know this one.
Oh, I'm disappointed. I think that everybody he would have known that. Anybody
else?
I'm at a loss.
That was Adam Thielen, wide receiver Adam Thielen, talking about the changes in the coaching staff, Zimmer and Spielman being fired.
They haven't called me back, by the way. I put my application in.
It takes a while. They got a GM or coach? Which one?
Coach.
Okay, yeah, so they're hiring a GM first.
Okay.
Just wait till that.
So there's still a chance.
They'll probably reach out to
you. Awesome.
If they ever saw my record on Madden, they'd hire me in a minute. Never lose at that game. We move on to our parody song round. Jeff O'Brien stole, like, everybody's points. He has 5. Josh and Eric tied with 2. We've got 1 parody song snippet for each of you. If you can correctly identify which story is being referenced in it, we'll start with Representative Eric Lucero.
As approval ratings go, it is lower than most. Nothing is as it was promised to be. It is bad, yeah, we know, but at least it's not as low as the approval rating of the VP.
I mean, that was good timing with the commentary you guys were just making a second ago.
It really was.
That would be in regards to the release of the poll this week that Joe Biden has an approval rating of a mere miserable 33%.
Lower than Geely. That's the hashtag we got to get going. Lower than Geely.
Geely gets a bad rap.
Oh, stop it.
Just kidding.
You're fired.
I've never seen it. All right, Josh, here is your parody. What are they talking about?
When you go out, you wear a mask. Can you take it off? Don't even ask. Just locking down yourself at home. Instead of that, just smoke a doobie.
Thank you.
This is
talking about how CBDA and CBGA in a study have proven effective against fighting COVID.
Yeah, we covered it all earlier. We know you know.
Well, thanks for making that my question. I mean, so.
Final one for Lawyer Extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
The problem started when we went out for a meal. Avoided carjackers who tried to take my wheels. But when we got inside, they said, hey, what's the deal? You must have vaccine cards to get a table.
That would be the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul choosing to impose vaccine passports on patrons rather than addressing their rampant crime problems.
Made them all very easy.
I love the subtle chuckle of a meh parody song. It's okay. It's okay.
It's not easy. You know?
I know. That's not a dig on the creation of them. It's just they're not all winners. And I just like the subtle chuckle of a meh parody song makes me laugh.
All right, Jeff O'Brien, 6 points. Josh and Eric tied with 3 apiece. We have 9 headlines, lots of blanks in them. Buzz in with your name if you think you know the answer, but keep in mind some of these will have more than 1 blank.
All right, headline number 1, 1 point available here. Majority of Hennepin County Board calls for blank to resign.
Josh. Eric. Sheriff.
I heard Jeff.
Sheriff Dave Hutchinson's resignation.
And I believe there's a recall that's yes, getting underway yes. as well,
we,
right?
We, a listener emailed in. They are spearheading a recall effort. They've got a petition. We'll talk about that on Monday's show, and we'll put out all the links and everything on social media.
For the website actually has Recall Sheriff Hutch.
Recall Sheriff Hutch.
Is the website.
.com. All right, headline number two. Students fill in for blank in Blaine High Schools.
Josh. Custodial staff, the janitors.
That's true.
Correct.
Sanitation. All right. One point available here in first of its kind treatment. Human receives blank heart.
Jeff, pig heart.
That's true.
Headline number four. Blank elected Minneapolis council president.
Jeff, Andrea Jenkins.
All right. 2 points available here.
Just one.
Still 1 point. Oh, my bad. Okay, 1 point. In first year, Biden has fewer blank than the last five presidents. Well, that's an open-ended question.
Josh, brain cells.
Almost want to give
Come on, I don't get a bonus point for that?
Sure, I'll throw
that's
one.
That's what I was thinking. Right. That's what I was thinking. Anybody? Press conferences or interviews?
Yeah. These are fewer press conferences or one-on-one interviews than the last five presidents.
Well, I'm looking forward to his State of the Union coming up.
if he does one.
Exactly.
He's not.
I'm going to stock up on my company's products before that.
Yeah.
Two blanks in this headline. U.S. blank hit 7% in December. Fastest rate since blank.
Eric. Josh.
I heard Eric.
Inflation. And can you repeat the last blank?
Fastest rate since blank.
Since 1980, I think. 82?
There we go. That's what we're looking for here. Nice. 1982, yeah.
All right. Headline number seven, blank under investigation for allegedly punching a fan.
Jeff, Kanye West.
It's true.
Although the headline I saw this morning said the rapper formerly known as Kanye West. Did he change his name?
What? Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. I'll have to look into that. Headline number eight, actor-comedian blank passes
away. Josh. Bob Saget.
Do we have a cause of death yet?
Nope.
No, not yet, huh?
Not that I've seen.
Interesting. All right, and headline number nine, 2 points available here. Aquaman star blank and...
Josh.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just blanked on her name, but the first name is Jason Momoa, and they're getting divorced.
Yep.
Oh, I can't remember her name. The Cosby Show daughter.
It's true.
There were several.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lisa Bonet.
That's right.
There you go.
I kept wanting to say Kravitz, and I know it's not her name anymore. So.
Yeah. And with that, Jeff O'Brien is the champion of the news.
Oh, you are the champions. You are the champion. The other two are losers, but you are the champion.
Point out, I predicted this
I was going to ask,
night.
Does Josh get excluded from the gift card drawing because he picked me, too?
He gets excluded because he participated, and also he works there.
But I just want to say, I pointed this out last night that he was going to be the winner before I even knew I'd be here. So,
if you predicted that lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien would be the champion this week, keep an eye on your email, keep an eye on your Twitter direct messages. Myself or Sam will reach out to you shortly and let you know that you are the winner. You'll have $100 that you could spend at Twin Cities Cannabis.
Yeah, and Josh, you basically came in to provide the trio, but also to make sure that the winner's song was actually relevant. Because you couldn't, if it was just two people, the other two were losers, it wouldn't have made any sense.
I'm glad I could help.
Thank you for disrupting your entire day for a stupid bit.
Yeah, the day I was going to work from home.
Driving in the blizzard.
I wasn't even planning on coming to the metro today.
Oh, that's funny.
We didn't get a chance to touch upon this. This is going to be interesting as I go to edit my my novels, though. Microsoft Word has introduced a new woke feature. So before, you would get red lines for spelling errors, right, in Microsoft Word. You would get green lines for grammar mistakes. Now you're going to get a purple line for politically correct language.
Better be able to turn that off.
Oh, I can't wait to see what that does.
Just like Clippy.
For documents for lawyers.
Well, and it's kind of a slam on. This is, and it's funny that Microsoft is actually getting so much attention for this. They've launched this new woke politically correct feature, right? Traditionally, Microsoft Word has been used by 250 million users, spelling, punctuation, grammar checks. But now, they're going to be adding in woke words. Microsoft wasn't the first one to do this. I use Grammarly all the time, and Grammarly started telling me which words were inappropriate about a year ago. So, I mean, again, you look at when they want to make changes in here. One giant leap for mankind. They want you to change it to potentially humankind or humanity instead.
Mm-hmm. So, will right? the paperclip pop up to alert you to these, or will it just give you like?
It just you get an underline purple, and then when you highlight it, it'll give you different alternatives. Yeah,
it's not the paperclip. It's Nicole Harris who wrote the 1619 Project. It's a little picture of her.
Wow.
Yeah, and says, are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure you want to do this?
So it sounds like you're a bigot.
So maid should be house cleaner, headmaster, principal, mistress, lover, master, expert, manpower, workforce, heroine, hero. Whatever, Microsoft. Don't tell me.
Oh, my right. gosh.
Eric Lucero, Jeff O'Brien, Josh Hassing, thank you guys so much. That was a lot of fun. Really appreciate you guys being in.
Thank you.
Thank you again. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, everybody be good. Be safe this weekend. Be careful out there on the roads right now, too. It's snowing pretty hard right now. We will be back on Monday with Andrew Langer, our D.C. correspondent. Hopefully Sam will be back. Send her some good wishes over Twitter. Have a great weekend.
Do you hear me? I don't want nobody. Give me nothing. Open up the door. I'll get it myself. I don't give me integration.